Welcome to the Accepted Authority, where we tackle a common growth challenge in the consulting space. And with me, as always, Greg Roweth. Welcome.
Hey, Andy. Good to be here.
Good, good. And I know we've just battled COVID, so we won't say anything more about that, but we are here and firing. I'd love to talk about a topic that has been sort of in the news from a reporting point of view recently, which is really about how do we navigate this new digital economy? And there's a report by Gartner specifically within consulting, and it talks about how by 2025, 60% of buying decisions will be from a digital point of view. So the process of actually a face-to-face or a human interaction is way down the end. So we spend a lot of time in research phase. So I guess I wanted to pose a question to you and to you listening and watching. Is how are you going to navigate the new digital economy, the Web 3.0? So maybe we could sort of start with a bit of a broad question. Well, what does it actually mean in your view, Greg, than this new digital economy? What are Gartner talking about?
Yeah, it's a very important topic, I think, Andy, because we've seen the progression of this experience, I guess, over the last 5 to 10 years, but particularly now, post-COVID, and where so many more people are in the consultancy space, there's so much more competition, but there's also so much development in the web space, where, in the past, we used to be able to rely on getting referrals, and, that was the source of information for our clients. They would ask, who do you know who can help me with this? And so, if you knew somebody in that space, then you'd refer people to them and they would come along, hopefully to us, and ask us about, here's my problem, can you help me solve it? So most of the buyer's journey, if we refer to that terminology, occurred, almost face-to-face with a consultant who helped educate and provide the information that the people were looking for. Now, what's happened with the developments in the web space is that, and as Gartner rightly points out, up to 60% of those buying decisions, the research, the question asking and answering, is now being done online. And because there's a fair bit of tension still, I guess, in the asking a potential salesperson, engaging a salesperson to provide that information, there's always going to be resistance around going to that point. So where there's an opportunity to do the research online and to ask the questions or find out the information people are looking for, they're now going to Google as probably our main source of information, and asking the question to Google. So the biggest challenge that represents for us as consultants then is that if we're not in the space providing those answers online, then we're really missing out on a lot of opportunity to present ourselves as the authority and to be that accepted authority in the space, and almost boiling down to being one of those people who has to ask or respond to an RFP or a tender or just putting in a proposal in a competitive space where we are one of the last people to come along in terms of being in the or getting the attention of a potential client. And we're just left to make up the numbers to justify a decision that they've probably already made to go with somebody else.
Yeah, so what you're saying there, Greg, is we need to be aware that the opportunity for us is to be visible on Google and to be visible when if people are going direct to a digital platform to find their answers. If we're not there, then we're going to lose out. And it's not just good enough to have a website. We were talking about this before we jumped on, but a website that's like a brochure. I mean, that's just old age thinking. We don't want that. We want to we want to be ahead of the game, which is really about understanding that with the rise of things like AI and using audio to search and those sorts of things, that's really where we need to be, especially if we're trying to compete with these large firms or even firms that are a bit more savvy than us. We need to understand how do we sort of go about doing that. So maybe if we start with the main opportunity, which really is that website, we know that from a positioning point of view, that's where we're going to have our key target market very clear. We're going to talk about creating a connection, but then also we're going to build a library of resources around those key search terms. I mean, is that an opportunity that you think that firms potentially are missing out on that they could be using?
Yeah, definitely. I think the opportunity is there. And this is where it gets really important, because we can be the accepted authority quite easily. And in days gone past, you probably had to write a book and be seen as an authority that way because you wrote the book. But now there's so many more opportunities to communicate your value and help people through that buying journey. So a website is obviously an important starting point where you're able to deliver your content, your information, and educate potential clients on how to solve their problem. But it goes way beyond just your website too. The important thing is, where are your ideal clients hanging out online? Where do they go for their information? And, so people may find the content they're looking for by doing a Google search and, putting in their question. And if you've got that information on your website and perhaps in a video format or a short article or a blog post, then they're likely to find it. But there are other places as well where that information is made available, places like LinkedIn, LinkedIn articles and YouTube videos. There's a number of social media sites as well. And questioning, there's too many to mention really. But the key to it is to understand the buyer's journey. So what are the questions that they're asking? The mistake I see most people making in this space is that they're perhaps more solution-oriented than problem-oriented. So, a lot of the content we see is about the solution, but we need to take it back a step, because most clients aren't engaging around a solution. They don't really understand what the solution to their problem is yet. But if you have that problem focus, because what they're typing into Google is, I have this problem, what's the answer? So we need to create content more around the problem first before we lead into the solution. So making sure that we understand almost like that breadcrumb dropping pathway that we can lead our potential clients to the solution from the problem, we need to have content at both ends of the scale so that they can come step by step from their problem through to the solution, and do that in a way that's non-salesy and engaging, so that people actually want to know the information that we're providing.
I love that, Greg. And I think that if you go back to what you're saying around Google and also YouTube, I mean, I think Google own YouTube, don't they? You've almost got those two channels as one. And I think LinkedIn is definitely the other, because unless you've got a personal website that's had a few years posting content, which a lot of us probably don't have, then LinkedIn is going to be the next piece that comes up, obviously owned by Microsoft. So really, though, if you're looking to establish now, you're looking to establish a plan around how do we get ahead in this new digital economy, it's really around, I think, definitely website. Figure out what are the questions and what are the resources that we can do to help our customer understand and become more problem aware. I think if you're so capable, then going down that YouTube path, that's again a long game, but figure out if you like video, then how can you capture some of those talks that you do, webinars that you do, maybe conversations like these, podcasts. How can you grab all that and start a library of content on YouTube? I think the third thing is around definitely LinkedIn. Once you make those virtual connections, then I've seen it so many times where people will connect with someone and then they basically validate your expertise by the content that you share, which we've talked about a lot on this podcast. So if you've got almost like the website and the LinkedIn as the two key pillars, and if you can, as an extra, you've got YouTube, then you're really giving yourselves the best opportunity to be where the customers are searching. Have I got that one right, Greg?
Yeah, well they're the fundamentals, I guess, of putting a system together. But I think beyond that is actually being strategic and being systematic about you know, the type of content you put out and understanding that, you know, customers or clients do go on a journey, you know, through that problem identification, you know, solution search, and you know, then a final selection of who to work with. So, you know, understanding the types of content to put out it and where to put that content so that we're taking our potential clients on that journey and that they're actually following that journey with us. Because the initial starting point, a well-known marketing term called entering the conversation that's already in the mind of the client. If we have content that helps people enter that conversation, which is, that needs to be short, maybe 2 to 3 minute maximum length in consumption time. That's where people are at. You know, people are bombarded with so much information. There's so much content out there that we want content in short bites. So we need to have content, first of all, around the enter the conversation phase that's easier to consume, but it leads to the next piece of content. And I think that is the key, that we need to understand where we're taking our clients and, you know, starting off with that into the conversation, but then what's next? You know, what do they want to learn from us next after that? And that next piece of content can perhaps be a longer piece of content. It might be a webinar, it might be an ebook, or it might be a podcast, a number of different vehicles again that takes people from the problem stage to the solution search stage, where you're then able to map out, you know, the best solution for the client's problem.
Yeah. There's certainly, I think I love what you said there, Greg, around having a strategy around it. It's not just simply about putting out random bits of content. I guess you've just got to think about where is that problem identification step. So this is great if you've got sales teams, or if you're the salesperson, really consider when you ask about, well, what are the challenges you're facing at the moment, then what are the common responses? I've been doing this for my firm as well, and there's almost sort of 4 or 5 common themes that come out of it. And the more you can just constantly challenge yourself around, are these problems still the same? Have they changed? What you think based on the perspective might also be different to what they actually think. So for example, one of the challenges that I felt like my clients would face is that prospects don't value what they do. But then when I thought about it a bit deeper, that's like an excuse. Oh, well, of course, they don't value what we do because they don't get what we do. But if you twist it around, then I realized that the problem was actually around that we're not able to articulate what we do in a way that resonates with people. And that's a different problem. So I guess what we're saying is take note of the conversations that you're having. What are the common themes around the challenges that your ideal clients face? If you can get a grouping of those, that's a great starting point to figure out, okay, well, how can we tackle that from an article, from a video, and then how can we share that out in the world on whether it's on LinkedIn, on YouTube, and our blog.
Yeah, now that's a great point to raise, Andy, about, you know, the articulation of the solution, and I see that happening a lot, where clients I work with complain that, yeah, the clients just don't get them, and they, you know, don't they don't understand the problem. And yeah, that comes back to, you know, how do you actually educate your potential clients around what the problem is, what the solution is, in a simple way. And I see a lot of people actually making a mistake, and I call it being salesy. You know, they, the content they put out around the solution is all about selling how they work with clients, you know, which on the surface sounds logical and natural. But what I've found is that it actually creates a barrier where people have their critical filters in their brain switched on, you know, to any sort of salesy type message. And, you know, when they feel like they're being sold, they're more critical. But if you're able to produce the same sort of content with the same solution in an educational way, where you're not, you know, not actually selling it, but you're educating your clients around what the best solution is, then they're willing to listen and learn, and then ask you, well, can you help me with this? So it actually flips the whole equation on its head when you present that same information in a way that's educational and informative, rather than, you know, the typical salesy type approach that we may have learned from, you know, the old style approach that came before Web 3.0.
It definitely, and I think that that links with the idea of that long, in that long sales cycle that we often talk about. Well, it's just going to become more exacerbated as we continue down this more of a digital economy. The opportunities for face-to-face interaction are going to become less and less, and therefore we need to figure out ways and almost assume that we're not going to be able to meet our ideal clients face-to-face. Mm-hmm. But the first stop has to be capturing them from a digital point of view, education, as we're talking about, and then being that guide for them so that the solution is naturally they can come to us. So So I guess if we, you know, the key takeaways around the session today, Greg, I wrote down that the digital economy is here. It's not going to change. We need to be savvy, and we need to get ahead on the front foot about how we're going to combat this. And the ways that we talked about were website, be the place that people go to from the questions that they they're covering. YouTube is a natural extension of Google, but also on LinkedIn. They're almost like, that's like your triumvirate of where you want to post content from a consulting point of view. We also talked about being agile around having some strategy. What and where are the decision points, and where you need to be. I think finally, we also just we touched on the idea of you know, being authentic in our content, not being salesy. You know, we want to be that guide. We want to be educational, and it can be a slow process. But the deals that typically happen in consulting, 50,000, 100,000 plus, it's not going to happen in a week. It's going to be a considered process. And that's why we need to spend this time educating and nurturing.
That's right. I think, yeah, to perhaps put a seal on that is, you know, stop thinking promotion and start working on positioning so that you are seen as the accepted authority.
I love it. That's a beautiful, that could be an infomercial for our podcast, Greg. So well done. So thank you for listening and for watching. If you enjoyed this podcast, please take a time to leave us a rating on wherever you're listening to this. It really helps us connect and have more impact with our audience in the consulting world. So Greg, I want to thank you for your time as always.
Thank you. And yes, if people want to find out more about what we've been talking about, they can find more education on my website at businessflightpath.com, or plenty of content too on my LinkedIn profile. Just search for Greg Rowworth on LinkedIn.
And for me, it's concurve.com.au, and also very active on LinkedIn, just like Greg. So find me at Andy Marmont. Well, we'll see you, and we'll look forward to the conversation continuing next time.
Excellent. Thanks, Andy.